This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, December 15, 2021. Wednesday in the third week of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Those last words that were read, and blessed is he who takes no offense at me. In the older versions, it is blessed is he who is not scandalized by me. This story that is relatively read frequently, it is this one where John the Baptist sends his two disciples to inquire of our Lord. There's a couple ways you can look at that. Either way that you look at it, there should be no disparagement on John or his faith. He is a human being. What is the situation when they send him? He's in prison. He's in prison and things are not going well. And he knows they are not going well and he knows they're going to get worse. But when we look at him again, well, is he weak in his faith? Is he questioning what he's been telling people all along? I would say not. He doesn't do that. This is not what it is about. You can look at the Blessed Virgin. You look at the Blessed Virgin Mother, and there are times because she is a human being, as St. John is a human being. And like her, there are occasions in Jesus' ministry and some of the things he does and in her life when she's confronted with things, as is St. John, where they are surprised by things. They're surprised by things. They're human beings and they don't know how to work through them. So they ask certain questions. And then there can be times when they're, and this does not mean doubtful in their faith, but doubtful as to the circumstances and how they're playing out. This is where St. John is. Okay. If you want to look at it from the one perspective, that is, I'm sending my disciples to ask Jesus whether he's the one who's coming or not. Hold that thought. It's not necessarily how we have to look at this. But even if it is, those things that I just said, they don't in any way critique John's faith. One commentator actually uses the word for his preaching, and I wish it applied to all preachers, but how much more in our day and age. It said that St. John the Baptist was a fierce preacher of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. Fierce. He held no punches. That's why he's sitting in prison. He looked at the king and he said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Kind of different nowadays. We look at the king and we say, oh, you can have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. It doesn't mind if you're not even a Christian, obviously. But that's fine. Okay. Getting along with the king. St. John the Baptist didn't get along with the king. All right, he didn't go out of his way. He confronted the king with the truth. It said about, you know, events that come up in our life. It doesn't matter how faithful you are. You know, I just used the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. John the Baptist as pinnacles of faith. Our Lord looked at St. John the Baptist, looked at his apostles about St. John the Baptist and says, you know, there was never a greater one born of woman than John the Baptist. Our Lord lauds his faith, you know, to the 10th degree. But again, he's still a human being, as well as the Blessed Virgin. You know, what could make them surprised at the way things are panning out? One thing could be Christ's slow accomplishment of his messianic plan. You know, remember the Jewish mindset of these things. God's going to send a Messiah, and he's going to come down. He's going to put everything straight. And if you're the Messiah, that's just what you do. You do it quickly because you're God. You're the Messiah. Okay, you're God's man down here. And all of a sudden, you see this man walking around, of course, doing miracles, a lot of them, walking on water, raising dead people, doing all these things, but very slow in his accomplishment of these things. The scriptures actually go on to tell us later on in the New Testament writings, don't count God slack as men view slackness. A day is 1,000 years with our Lord, and 1,000 years is as a day. It doesn't mean any, timing doesn't mean anything for him. Okay? We should look at things like that. If we are bound by linear time, he is not. He is eternal. So he does things in his own timing. I've been praying for that for 2 months and it's not, really? 2 whole months? There are people who pray things for their thing, their whole life and never see the fruition of their prayers. Doesn't mean that God's not hearing. It doesn't mean that he's not going to answer. Might not be answering in the way you think he should. But at the end of the day, this is one of the things that happens in a human being's life when we consider God, and it surprises us. And it can even lead us to doubt if what we understood, notice I didn't say doubt him, but doubt that what we understood was correct or not. Christ, you know, slowness to accomplish it in our mind. That could be one reason. Or his failure to clearly identify himself as a Messiah. For those who have eyes to see, I laugh when people say, Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. He never claimed to be. He claims it all over the place. All over the place. You know, and sometimes you can even, that's an explicit testimony as to who he is. Why doesn't everybody see that? Why do Catholic commentators say, I just read one the other day. Pretty good commentary too. Jesus never explicitly said that he was the Messiah. Really, theologian? This guy's a theologian. I'm not questioning his faith or anything like that. I'm just saying it is quite obvious that our Lord claims to be the Messiah. He claims to be the Son of God. It's so obvious that Jews, the Pharisees, look at him and say, you make yourself to be God. I mean, they knew crystal clear what his claim was. But when we're looking at it from our own perspective, sometimes, obviously, even theologians, they kind of miss things like that. So they become not doubtful in his deity, but I doubt that our Lord ever really claimed to be. That's what we get for being human. Okay, and this is what we're dealing with here. We're looking at St. John's humanity. That last verse we started this with, blessed is he whosoever shall not be scandalized in me, who will not be offended at me. Our Lord is saying by this that we need to watch our perceptions of him. We need to be very careful when we think and talk about our Lord. I always talk, if you talk enough about our Lord, particularly some theological concepts, the Eucharist, the Trinity, the hypostatic union is probably the biggest. You talk about the hypostatic union, how Jesus Christ can be 100% God and 100% man, how that works. You cannot talk about the hypostatic union for more than 5 minutes when you will not say something that's heretical. Some of the saints, I mean capital S saints, have written things and other saints look back and go, yeah, he really kind of dropped the ball on that one. That was kind of a heretical statement. We don't believe that. But that's what you get for talking too much about things that go beyond our capacity. Any discussion that we have about God, anything, is an infinite subject. How can we discuss it for any length of time when we are finite beings? I have caught myself in homilies before. Now we got to roll about something. I'll say something. As soon as I say it, I'm like, ooh, that was heresy. Yeah, that's just that's part of the doing business with this stuff, you know? You're not gonna mess with fire, you're gonna get burned on occasion. That's the reality of our dealing with God. And we have to appreciate that. But we have to, at the end of the day, listen to our Lord's. If you read something or hear something and all of that, you feel scandalized, you can't feel scandalized. Do not be offended by this. Just open your mind, learn, pray about these things. This is the reality. We have this tendency, and this is what offends us. It's on account of seeing something in Jesus different from what we expect. We're human beings. We have expectations. We have expectations on one another. We have expectations. I mean, just because of the way we're brought up and what we're, you know, in North America, for instance, you know, I'm always bashing the whole F word, fair. That's not fair. That's why? Because every day we wake up, all we hear about is how everything needs to be equal, everything needs to be fair, and all that. God doesn't work like that. God plays favorites. God does what he wants to do. We cannot place our own expectations on God. The only thing we should really expect of him is to go to heaven after embracing him in faith and obedience. That's the extent of it. You know, we love to talk about these details and these nuances of our faith and all this kind of stuff. It's all well and good to sit around and contemplate things like that. But at the end of the day, we've got to be very, very careful of putting our expectations on the Lord. He will be the Lord. He will do what he will. Okay, even some of the general statements that he makes, these little things like he said about doubting. Well, he says that if you're not baptized with water and the Holy Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. That's a very explicit and direct statement. So what is our expectation as human beings? Well, the scriptures say that, so that's true. Then you have the thief on the cross. He wasn't baptized. And our Lord looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. Why is that? That's because he's God and he will on occasion do his God thing. This is just the reality. We don't put our expectations on him. We ought not, because that is all of a sudden when people start falling away. You know, that's when we, you know, you're the folks who like to throw out the, my God is a loving God. He would never create a hell, so we know there's not hell. Heck, there's bishops running around saying that nonsense now. That's just out and out ridiculous. That's doubting your faith. You know, we can't do that. We don't ever doubt our Lord in what he says just because it doesn't jive with our expectations. Newsflash, nobody should expect that if they knew the first thing about our Lord and what he taught to ever say such a thing. But that's their expectations. And they are scandalized when somebody tells them, oh yeah, there's a hell and those sinners are going to go there. Oh, how dare you say that? Our God's loving and merciful. Yes, he is. He's also just and righteous. You can't put your merciful and warm and fuzzy stuff expecting those to be God all the time. Now, the first reading today, it's kind of interesting. And I usually talk about when they edit and things like that. That was a relatively long first reading. It's from Isaiah chapter 45, starting in verse 6 and going to verse 19. That's 19 verses. You know how many you heard read from that? Eight. Eight out of 19. And not whole verses. Some of them were cut in half. Okay, had to do the math on this one. One and a half there, a half of there, and put it together. Yeah, the total reading in the first reading today was eight verses out of 19. Why? Because, for one thing, it's long. And we just love to shorten things up here in our day and age. But there are also a bunch of talk in there about God confronting his people. Actually, I was kind of happy to see at the beginning of the first reading, little things like, you know, I am the Lord and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create woe. I'm surprised that's still in there. He creates woe. No, he doesn't do anything like that. He's merciful. Yes, he is very merciful. Okay, but what he's up in our face about is don't question me. Isaiah 45, if you could put it in a nutshell, and it's long, is that's the message. Don't question me. Don't question me. I made everything. How can the potter look at the clay, look at the potter and say, why did you make me like this? It goes on and on and on, confronting people with God being up in their face. And who are you to question me? Oh my gosh, in this day and age, you know, we can question anything. Whereas if we've got free will, no, you can't question God. We just have faith. We don't put our own expectation on it. This is what the message is with John the Baptist. Because he said, you know, hold the thought before when I said, most people read this, he sent out his disciples to ask as if it's for his benefit. Did you ever think of looking at it this way, that he sent them out for their benefit? And because we know that our Lord already has apostles that had been disciples of John the Baptist. Because when Jesus said, behold the Lamb of God, behold him that taketh away the sin of the world. You know, they went and asked our Lord Jesus, where are you staying? Come and see. Well, John's still got disciples that are following him. He wants them, he's directing them to the Lord. He is directing them to the Lord. So why wouldn't we look at this as him not asking a question to comfort himself, but to make sure that the last disciples that are hanging around with him, and as he knows his days are numbered, he needs to point them to the Lord. So go ask them. And how does our Lord prove it to them that he's the Messiah? And he did all these miracles. Obviously, he did some just shortly thereafter, at that point in time, in order to prove to them, those disciples, that he was the Lord. Because everything that John the Baptist had said about our Lord Jesus Christ is not just words, it's coming to the fore in truth by his works. Our Lord actually goes on to say, if you don't believe my words, believe the works. John said his disciples out there, this is where I go with this whole thing, is I've delved into this, is that John's not asking the question for himself. He wants to prove to them that Jesus Christ is Lord. So again, this proof, particularly again, him knowing that his demise is short, then you know, this is why he would do that. He doesn't want disciples anymore. He doesn't need disciples anymore. His mission is over. He was there to make straight the paths, this whole Advent thing. He was there to make straight the paths of the Lord. The Lord is here now. The paths better be straight. Now our job is to just keep them straight. That's why we have the confessional. That's why we have prayer and the means of grace and the sacraments to do these things. Because they objectively prove to us these words that we speak of all the time. So when we look at our Lord, we can never, ever, ought never be offended or scandalized by things like hell or judgment or exclusivity. Those are part of God's being. We have to appreciate that and not put our own expectations on him. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.